Father in heaven, you are great, you are strong, you are mighty and good. You are the definition of those things. Lord, we are here to glorify and praise your name. And Lord, we do also want to proclaim your truth. And we pray that your truth would be heard now. Your voice would speak to us, that you would be the one that is communicating to us this morning. I pray that you would put a guard over my mouth, that my lips would not speak anything that is untrue, that I would not even speak anything that is of me, but only that which is of you. I pray for your anointing now upon this part of our service, upon our entire service, that your Holy Spirit would have control, that you would take control and guide and direct the things that we say, the things that we hear. I pray for ears to hear, that we would hear with understanding the truth, and that it would bring forth faith in our heart. Would you please do that now? Bless your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as is our practice, each week I want to read the passage together, and then we will look at how that instructs our church vision. So why don't we stand and read Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. If you can stand. If you would rather not, it's not at all required. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Thank you. You may be seated. The vision for Grace Bible Church is this. We seek to be filled with the true knowledge of his will, resting in all spiritual wisdom and understanding granted to us through his word. We want to walk in a manner that is worthy of the name Jesus Christ, being perfectly pleasing to our Lord. We desire to see good fruit in every good work in which we are blessed to partake. We will increase in deep relationship with our Father in heaven. In all things, we will seek to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. This will bring us strength not only to see fruitfulness and impact in our acts of service, but also to endure the trials and challenges that must necessarily come to the children of the kingdom while in this world. In every moment, we will offer unto the Father our gratefulness for the justification, deliverance, transformation, and redemption which he has granted to us through the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope that a lot of that reminded you of the things we've talked about over the past 6 or 7 weeks. This morning, we want to focus on verse 13 and the deliverance that we have in Christ. Verse 13 says that we are delivered from the power of darkness. That word delivered in the Greek is ruhomai, and it means to draw oneself. That one was really hard. That's the hardest one yet, I think. It means to draw oneself or rescue. It has the idea of saving someone who is drowning, to be pulled up out of the water, to be delivered. The Greek word there for power is the most interesting word, I think, in this passage, or in this phrase, and that is the word exousia. Exousia means privilege, force, capacity, mastery, influence. It's the power of authority. It's translated elsewhere in Scripture as the word authority or jurisdiction, right or strength. You see how important it is to understand what the Greek word is? Because in English we have the word power, and the word power could mean anything from your electric bill to the strength of your fist. It's got a little bit of a generic meaning, and it can be used in a lot of different contexts. But in this Greek, exousia is a Greek word that means authority. It means jurisdiction or privilege. When and then the Greek word for darkness is the Greek word skotos, and it means shadiness. That's literally what Strong said, shadiness. Obscurity. It's from a root word that means shadow. I kept thinking as I was studying that, I kept thinking the shadow kingdom. And just this picture of, you know, the shadow creatures, the bad guys, the wicked ones, you know, darkness, the shadow kingdom. That's what it's talking about. Delivered from the power of darkness, or you could say rescued, to rephrase it with the same meaning, rescued from the jurisdiction of the shadow kingdom. That's faithful to the translation, to the original meaning. We have been delivered. We've been drawn out of destruction by the mighty hand of God. We were drowning. There was no hope of our survival. We were lost in our trespasses and sins. No hope at all, except for one possible chance, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the one way. It makes me think of that movie, Endgame, Avengers Endgame. Maybe some of you have seen it. Maybe some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. But in that movie, they talk about the one chance for victory. That there was over 14 million different ways that we would lose. The heroes of the story are trying to defeat the horrible bad guy, and there's 14 million different possibilities for them to lose. And there's one where they win. And that one way of victory required someone to die. And that is what happened at the cross. There was any number of different ways for us to go to hell. But there's only one chance for us to go to heaven, and that's through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the only way for us to be delivered. And we were rescued, we were delivered from what? From the power of darkness, the authority of the devil. That authority has been broken. You see, it's very important that we understand that it's not the authority will be broken. The authority was broken once. The context here is present tense. The authority is broken now. It's not one day if I read my Bible enough or I pray long enough or I live good enough that then the power of darkness will be broken. No, it says we have been delivered, present tense, from the power of darkness. It's today. The authority of the devil is broken. He has no jurisdiction over my life because I've been bought with the blood of Jesus. I've been bought with the most precious thing that can ever be in all of existence. Since the beginning of time until the end of eternity, nothing else will ever be more precious than the blood flowing through the veins of Jesus himself. And that blood bought me. You can't get something more expensive to buy me back. I've been bought with the blood of Jesus. All of us have been. That is the deliverance we have been given. The devil has no right or privilege to demand my obedience. I am out of his jurisdiction. Where his borders are, I'm right over the border. I am not part of his kingdom. I've been delivered. I'm not sure that we really understand what that means. We need to sit here for a second and meditate upon this concept. I don't know if we really have a grasp of what Paul is telling us, to be delivered from the authority, from the jurisdiction, from the rights, the power of darkness. That darkness does not hold sway over me anymore. Perhaps it would be good to consider someone who is under the power of darkness, what their life is like. Someone who is under the power of darkness is not free to do what they want to do. They are bound to do whatever their flesh demands they must do. Someone that's addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, addicted to pornography, addicted to any number of other things, they are bound. They cannot break free. Someone who is under the power of darkness lives in fear all the time, because the darkness is oppressing them. They cannot be delivered on their own. And they try and they try and they look for something that's going to bring fulfillment to their life, and they find it all to be empty. Someone who is under the power of darkness is afraid of death. They're afraid of the opinions of other people. They're afraid of spiritual forces that are going to dominate and attack them. This is not so much true here in America, because we have a very materialistic viewpoint. We don't often think about the spiritual world, but in other countries, they're very aware of the spiritual world. And many of them who are not Christians are afraid of demons and afraid of spirits that are going to hurt them, and they do any number of things to try to mitigate that and keep it from happening. They're bound up in fear. Someone under the power of darkness is not able to see. If you're in a dark place, if you have dark room, you don't know what's happening, and you're going to bump into things, and you're going to get hurt, and you're not going to understand why, and you're going to get angry, and you're going to get insecure. That is the power of darkness, and that is what we are delivered from. We've been rescued from that kind of life. We don't have to live that kind of life anymore. We don't follow those laws. We don't follow those rules. We don't follow that master, because we have been purchased, rescued, delivered from that oppression. You know, I found it incredibly amazing. And a friend of mine at work, he would say, "Look at God." He's like, "God's showing off right now." Because the very best illustration I could think of to illustrate this principle of being delivered from the power of darkness is what we celebrated on Thursday, the Declaration of Independence, the birth of our nation, and our freedom from the rule of Britain. The colonies, they decided that they would declare their independence from Britain, that Britain's rule, the nation of Great Britain, was not, they were oppressing them. King George, if you read the Declaration of Independence, and we tried and we got through, I mean, honestly, we got bogged down in the list, incredible list of things that King George was doing to oppress the people of the colonies. He was a tyrant, at least to them. They were not given things they were promised. They were just oppressed in every way. Now, if anyone ever hears this who's a subject of the British Empire, well, they're our friends now, And I don't mean to compare King George to the devil, but it does fit in this analogy. He was a tyrant. And the colonies said, we will declare our independence from his rule. This is not right, it is wrong, and we are going to be free and independent states. And they did, but their freedom was secured by the death of many men. It required a war. And that war, for victory, required many men to give their lives. At the end of the Declaration of Independence, the signers said, we mutually pledge to one another our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. They knew what was going to be required of them, that they would have to give so much to secure freedom from Britain. But they did. They secured liberty for the nation. The nation was born out of the sacrifice of these men, just like our liberty was born out of the sacrifice of Christ. That's why our church sign today says, true liberty equals Christ. That's where true liberty comes from. But at that moment, the United States was no longer under British rule or jurisdiction. The laws of the British Empire no longer applied to the colonies of America who had become states. They become 13 original states of the United States of America. That is a new country, new laws, new jurisdiction, new authority structures, new soldiers, new battles. No longer were they under the domination, the jurisdiction, and the tyrannical rule of King George. They had been delivered. I think more toward after the battle was fought, after the war was won, and the United States signed peace treaty with Great Britain, and okay, fine, we're not going to fight anymore. Now the United States is truly broken free, truly been delivered from the power of their oppressor. That is what has happened to you and me. We've been delivered from the oppression of the tyrant. And we no longer have to obey his laws or follow his ways or do what he says. Because the power of darkness has been broken over us. I do not fear, serve, or follow the devil any longer because I've been rescued. By an incredible feat of power, by an incredible display of power, by a miracle of grace and strength, Jesus Christ has freed me from the power of the tyrant. He purchased my citizenship from the shadow kingdom into the land of light. Maybe somebody should write a story about that someday. Let's look at some other scriptures that help to inform our understanding of this passage. We can look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. I'm going to trust my good old technology. Technology is always nice, but it is sometimes very useful. We're going to just look at the screen here, and you can turn there. I'd encourage you to practice turning in your Bible, but for the sake of time, Isaiah 9, 2 says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. The shadow of death oppressed us, but the light has shined. That light is Jesus Christ. We've been delivered from that darkness. That was deliverance prophesied. Acts 26:18. I think it's very fascinating that here in Colossians, Paul is giving us his vision for the Colossian church, his encouragement to them, which God is giving to our church body as our church vision. And here is a vision statement that God gave to Paul in Acts 26, verse 18. Paul is recounting to the king, I think it was King Agrippa, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. God is telling Paul, this is what I want you to do. to go to the Gentiles. This is your task I have appointed to you, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. We just got done talking about how Jesus Christ justifies us to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints. And here is Paul's vision given to him from God. I want you to tell them who are in darkness about the light. The light that can bring them freedom. How about Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8? Ephesians 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And here we find the passage that teaches us that as newly bought citizens of the kingdom of light, it should impact our behavior. If we are children of light, if we are delivered from darkness, from the power of darkness, that ought to impact the way we live our lives. The lifestyle we have should be different. It shouldn't be the same. Darkness, what it says in another passage, what fellowship has light with darkness? We ought not to fellowship with darkness. We ought to be consumed by the light. It says in another passage of Scripture, our God is a consuming fire. That fire should consume our lifestyle. As American citizens, would we study the British laws in England and live according to those laws? Would we make sure we have tea at 4 o'clock every afternoon? Which is not necessarily a bad idea. It seems like that's a law in England. If you don't have tea, you're going to be arrested and taken to jail. But would we follow the dictates of Parliament? Would we be allowed even to vote in their elections for members of Parliament or whatever their structure is? Would we call ourselves subjects of the Queen? No, we're American citizens. We behave as Americans. We follow the laws, well, at least the good ones, of America. We had a discussion about that too. As long as the law doesn't require you to break the word of God, you should follow it. I think we're getting fast close to laws that are requiring us to not follow God's law. But that's a political commentary aside. Our new citizenship should impact our behavior. What about Ephesians 6, verse 12? Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, the battle's not over. The war may have been won, but there continues to be skirmishes. We continue to fight, to wrestle with the powers of darkness. Now, we serve a new master, and we've been delivered from their power. They have no jurisdiction over us. That doesn't mean they don't have strength left. They don't have a mean left hook. But it means that their right to rule us is broken. But we still wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. We still battle the forces of darkness. Though we have been delivered from their authority, we still fight with them. We wrestle with them. And that brings us into application for us, for our local church here today. How does this apply? Flesh and blood application for us here. First of all, we ought not be afraid of the works of darkness. We ought not to be afraid of the works of darkness. Things like the occult, witchcraft, demonic spirits, spiritual forces of darkness. We should not be afraid of them. Our master is stronger and greater than them. And though the devil is a roaring lion seeking who he might devour, he's been defanged. He can't hurt us. He doesn't have any teeth left. The power of darkness is real, but it cannot hold sway over the children of the kingdom unless we allow it to. That's a whole nother sermon. We should not be afraid of the powers of darkness. We should not be afraid of what they can do. We should be willing to do battle. We need to realize that when we go out into the world, when we witness to someone, when we go serve someone, we are not participating in just a neutral activity. We are part of a spiritual wrestling match. A spiritual battle is going on. And the devil would like nothing better than to inhibit and destroy every good thing we try to do in the world. Every good thing that comes in this world is because the Holy Spirit kicked in the teeth of the devil. And the devil loves to mess that up and bring confusion and to cause difficulties and struggles and trials. And he loves to mess it up. Now, he can't do anything without the sovereign control of God. God is overpowering him. God has ways that we don't understand in which he allows suffering and he allows trials. But we are in a spiritual battle, one in which we should walk confidently and not fearfully. We should not be afraid of the devil. He has no right over us. We need to be willing to do battle. But hear this. This battle is done through prayer. We battle the devil in prayer. Sometimes fasting. We need to be willing to fast and pray. We need to be willing whenever we're about to witness to someone or we feel God is telling us to speak truth into their life, friends or family maybe, we should say a prayer first. That's why at the beginning of this passage of Scripture we're studying, Paul said, we do not cease to pray that these things would happen. He said, prayer has got to be always there. That's where we fight, folks. That's why for the past year, I have been blue in the face, reminding us that prayer is the battlefield, that the combination of the Word of God and our prayer time unto the Lord is the double-edged sword that will cut out the legs of the enemy, that will begin to see miracles popping everywhere. We are in a spiritual battle. Yesterday, we had the privilege of going to visit an elderly woman. And her whole family, seemed like, was there. Her daughter was there. Well, they lived together. Her granddaughter came, her granddaughter's child, and I don't know if it was husband or boyfriend exactly, but... And we were there to serve them and to help them. We've been praying that God would open a door for us to be able to minister in this community and share the love of Christ. And God answered our prayers, and we had the opportunity yesterday to go and serve this family, to minister to their need in a very tangible way. But I guarantee you, spiritual forces were at work. We had the opportunity to speak truth into their lives, way more than just showing love. Showing love just opened the door for us to pour out truth into them. I was greatly encouraged by that answer to prayer. But we have to be willing to step into the battlefield. Step into the battlefield. The reason we had the opportunity to storm the strongholds of Satan in the lives of this family is because we've been praying for weeks for it to happen. praying for weeks that that would happen, and it did. I am so encouraged to see God answering our prayers, to see the opportunity, to see the truth of God, the love of God spread abroad in this community. I praise the Lord for that. That is part of the spiritual battle in which we are. But friends, we are delivered from the power of darkness. Don't walk in fear of the darkness. Shine the light at the darkness and it runs away. Reminds me of another movie. Most things remind me of movies, actually. You know, in the Lord of the Rings story, there's a part where Frodo is headed down an incredibly dark place. It's one of the darkest, most evil places in all the world. And there's a horrible spider that wants to eat him. A horribly wicked, ancient wicked thing that's seeking him out. But he has a vial that's filled with liquid light. It's a bottle that just shines brightly, especially in the darkest places. And when he holds up that light, the spider runs away. The spider can't stand the light. The darkness flees when it sees the light. The darkness flees from you and me when we are full of light. Let us not be afraid. The second thing that is applicable to us from this passage is to remember our identity. To remember our identity, understanding who we are in Christ. That will give us boldness and courage. There are many problems of the mind, problems of the soul, things that we struggle with inside that are resolved when we understand and believe our true identity in Christ. Some of our identity in Christ is said this way, I am delivered. Who am I in Christ? In Christ, not in myself or my strength, but in Christ, I am delivered. I am rescued. I am a citizen of heaven. I am no longer under the jurisdiction of Satan. I am a son or a daughter of God. That's who I am. I am a child of God, the Creator. I am valuable to the Lord. I have worth in His eyes. Incredible worth. So much worth that He paid the highest price He could ever pay. No one could ever pay a higher price than was paid for me. That means I am valuable. I am a warrior of light. I am a warrior of light. The darkness flees from me when I am in Christ. That's our identity. Who am I? Let me tell you, you need to let your identity be dictated by the Word of God. The Word of God should guide our understanding of who we are. There's so much debate right now in our society about identity. Identity politics and who am I? Well, people are letting themselves be defined by their gender or their sexual orientation, and they're letting that be the entire definition of their whole person. And it's so lopsided and they're so twisted and they're twisted up inside anyway. But we need to draw our identity, who we are, not from what we do for a living, not from who our parents are, not from where I go to church, not from what my religion is. I don't derive my identity from any good thing I've done or any accomplishment I've made. I derive my identity from Christ Himself, from the Word of God to guide me and help me to understand who I really am. And one thing that I am is delivered from the power of darkness. That's my identity in Christ. And this idea should also give us a spirit of gratefulness for the deliverance. He says here in this passage, in verse 12, he says, giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. He's saying, this is something that has happened for us. We should be grateful. We should be thankful. And that kind of attitude gives us perspective on the trials we face. When I realize I've been delivered from the power of darkness, no longer does Satan have jurisdiction over me. No longer am I a subject of the tyrant Satan. I am no longer required to obey his laws or his instructions or his ways. When I realize that, I'm walking in a spirit of gratefulness. And the hard things that I face in life, I can go, you know what? But I am delivered. Yeah, that's hard. It's not easy. But I sure am grateful that I'm not under the power of darkness as I deal with the loss of this loved one. I'm sure grateful that God watches over me and cares for me as I struggle through the pressures of life that we all face. I sure wouldn't want to face it in the power of darkness. I'd rather be delivered and face those trials. That spirit of gratefulness allows us to face things with the right perspective. As a church body, we can face hardships, challenges together, things that discourage us. Things that deflate our energy. We can face those things together with the spirit of gratefulness that, hey, there might only be three of us in the room, but we're delivered from the power of darkness. There's only maybe a dozen people in here. Without counting, I don't typically count. There's maybe a dozen people in this room, and the thing is, we're delivered from the power of darkness. We've come to worship the Lord in heaven, thanking Him for His incredible feat of deliverance and rescue. We give Him glory for that. That allows us to face things with a spirit of gratefulness. And that is important. That's why our church vision says we will continually be grateful for His justification, deliverance, transformation, and redemption. These the justification we talked about last time. Today we talk about deliverance. The next two times we'll talk about transformation and redemption, and it is in a spirit of gratefulness that we should be thinking about these things. Grateful for what God has done. So friends, we have been delivered. We should walk in a spirit of victory. We have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Delivered from the power of darkness. There is no demon in the world. The devil himself cannot stand before the name, just the name of Jesus. The jurisdiction of darkness has no rights over me. And I stand in opposition to them. When we pray here, within walking distance is a Hindu temple, a Buddhist temple, and an Islamic mosque. I sometimes drive past that Islamic mosque at 4:30 in the morning, lights blazing. When they first opened, there was 50 cars in the parking lot, police officers directing traffic at 5 in the morning for these faithful, deceived people to go and pray to a demon. They don't know they're doing that, but that is what they are doing. They pray to a false god within walking distance of this building. Hindus, Buddhists, and Islamists worshiping demons. That doesn't count the Buddhist temple that's on the way to Chick-fil-A that I pass sometimes. That doesn't count the banks where Americans go to worship the false god of money. We are in a spiritual battle all the time. And when we pray in this place, when we pray in this place against those buildings and against those spiritual forces, and we bind them in the name of Jesus Christ, I guarantee you, to quote my friend Pastor Billy McQuiggan, there's a dragon somewhere cowering in a corner. There's an evil spirit somewhere that goes, oh no, those Christians are praying again. We got to stop them from doing that. And he'll do anything he can to distract you from that. We need to see with the right eyes. That's why part of our vision says to have all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We need to have spiritual eyes to see the battle in which we are found. But we cannot forget our identity as delivered, rescued, powerful people who are no longer under the jurisdiction, the dominance, the tyranny of sin, the flesh, and the devil. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. And I say, hallelujah. I say, praise Jesus in heaven. And I say, give him all the glory and the praise, for he has done it. It is finished, he said. He said so much when he said those three words on the cross. It is finished. There's so much that happened there. That's why the cross is the pivotal point of history. That's why the cross and the resurrection in those 3 days is the pivotal point upon which everything hinges. The only reason we are free in America is because Jesus won true freedom on the cross. That's why the founders of our nation believed that it was an unalienable right of human beings to be free, because of Jesus Christ's winning freedom upon the cross, winning our deliverance from the power of darkness. And that really is what we should understand and grasp a hold of today, is the deliverance we have in Christ should dictate our identity, our power, our courage, our strength to wrestle more, to not be weary in well-doing, to hit our knees. When we see a problem in the world, when we see a struggle and a challenge, when we see something that concerns us and we're worried, oh, I'm so worried about this, or this is a very serious thing, or this awful tragedy happened. Do we just wring our hands and hope it gets better? Or do we hit our knees and begin to wrestle? Do we cry out to God for deliverance? If we're not seeing prayer for what it really is, it won't really do what it was really meant to do. We have to pray. We have to actually hit our knees. Actually cry out to God. Truly, genuinely pray unto him. And we cannot even imagine the amazing things that will happen as the darkness runs away because the light is shining. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You cannot hide something that's shining brightly. It'll burn up the lampshade if it shines bright enough. We're warriors of light. And I suppose that's the focus of next week's message. Transformation. But today, let's be grateful and rejoice in our deliverance. Father in heaven, you have won our deliverance, and we are grateful for that. You've done incredible, awesome things. And we glorify you for that. We lift you up and we praise you now. You are mighty. You are strong. You are great. And Lord, where we have failed, we ask your forgiveness. Lord, where we have allowed the power of darkness to dominate us, where we have not lived or walked as the children of light should, We pray you'd forgive us and help us to live new and different lives. Where we have allowed the powers of darkness to cause us to be afraid, we ask you to forgive us, and we pray for courage, for boldness, for strength in the face of incredible evil. We pray that you would give us courage, that you would give us boldness, and that you would give us faith, and that you would remind us, please remind us, to pray often, to not cease our conversation with you, to always be wrestling in prayer, seeking after deliverance for the loved ones around us. We pray that you would remind us to pray. Help us, Lord, to remember the nature of our battle and to pursue earnestly your face. Would you please bring deliverance to us? Would you bring the power of God? Let the light shine brightly in our hearts. And as we gather our hearts together in this place, let this place shine even brighter than we can imagine. And we praise you and bless you in Jesus' name for his glory.